Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
This Triple American Australia podcast is brought to you by Cooper's Mild Ale. Cooper's Mild Ale is a 3.5% mid-strength beer that tastes more like a full-strength beer because you can actually taste it.
Hello, Australia. Special guest today, normally on a Thursday, but it's Wednesday. Scott Dooley, regardless, is in the house. Great to have you here, Dools.
Thanks for having me. I like this Wednesday. It's got a new feel. I just feel great.
It's completely different to a Thursday. It's a whole other day.
Different.
It's incredibly different.
Yeah.
On the very different Wednesday show today, Scott Dooley will be inflaming somebody. In fact, a huge proportion of people with his Minority Report. I'm seriously worried about what's going to happen when you unleash this one today.
I couldn't give a tinker's cuss, and I hope they get offended. This is the greatest group of gooses or geese that we have in our society. I'm saying that right now.
Mate, they've already
Stick around because you could be one of these idiots.
They've already got irritable bowel syndrome, and you want to make it worse.
I want to give them the shits worse than they've already got it, man.
We'll also be doing American Australia's improvised theatre company. It involves Leonardo DiCaprio today. And we'll be explaining why the Chinese are paying $50 for a box of Weet-Bix. Ka-ching, Australia. Ka-ching.
Scott Dooley confronts his fears head on.
You are the biggest scaredy cat. You can't handle scary films. You were in a zombie film.
I still haven't seen it.
American Australia, Triple M.
For Cooper's Mild Ale, Scott Dooley, the man who was in a zombie film he can't watch, joins me this afternoon. Great to have you here, Dools. And very shortly, you'll be taking the reins for Minority Report, but I believe you want to kick off the show with a little bit. With a convo.
All right. What's the worst date location you've had? Because me and a mate were talking about this and we can't figure out. We both took girls to movies, different movies.
Mm.
I think mine was the worst choice. He thinks his was.
Okay. What was his?
These were two first dates and these are genuine. These are fair dinkum. His was Human Centipede. First date. Mine was Downfall. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Downfall. Downfall is a 3.5-hour foreign language film that chronicles the final days of Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to state the obvious here. Those are the two most frightening things to ever come out of Germany. Am I right? This is Downfall in the background.
Downfall, you'd probably know.
It's an incredible film. It's awesome.
It is an amazing film.
That's Hitler in the background.
Yeah, I don't know how comfortable I am in that. So that's the bit. You know those things that were going around the internet a few years ago, which would be Hitler saying, everyone who barracks for Collingwood, get out of the room.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then they talk about how bad, you know, it's Hitler of saying, That was the scene
from the bunker.
From Downfall.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's
needless to say, neither of us saw those girls again.
No. Yeah. You're not going to, because like I said, the two worst things to come out of Germany. The Human Centipede. I've not even seen that because if kids are listening, I'm afraid of insects. So that's why we're not going to ever bother to investigate that, kids.
Sure.
The next one is Downfall. I loved it as a film, but that just says no lady action.
It's not like Hugh Grant doesn't come in, and kind of fop it up a bit and make it a bit romantic.
Nah. No girl watches Downfall and just goes, God, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit tummy. Never gonna happen.
No.
I reckon the worst location I've ever been to on a date was many, many years ago, Dools. And I was trying to get hip with the university crowd, even though I was just a bogan who repeated year 11. And met this girl and she said, I want to take you to go and see a play. And I went,
a real life play?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I went, come on, Mez. You've got an interest in this girl. Just go. And I went there and she told me a half-truth. it was a play, but all of the actors were puppets. It was a puppet play.
Yeah, that's called a puppet show, Merrick.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, that's not a play.
And I walked out of here and I thought, we can never involve ourselves in a circumstance where we could accidentally make a child. So I've got to go now, because if we made a child, it would have no hope. It would have absolutely no chance.
And if it was a girl, you'd call it Judy. If it was a boy, you'd have to call it Punch. It's just not good.
No, look, we actually had a guy. We just got some audio duels of a guy, and this, you know, talking about worst locations for a first date. Now listen to this.
Do you know why I married her? I married her because on the first date, I took her to McDonald's, and we had a second date.
McDonald's, first date. That guy makes us all look good.
He does.
Makes you look good, Scott Dooley.
Absolutely.
Let's open up the phones now. 133-53. Let's have a little game of Top That.
Top That.
Worst date locations, especially if it was on your first date, but I'll accept any date. The worst date location.
No one can beat Human Centipede / Puppet Show. No one.
What if it was, the date was a puppet show, but it was Human Centipede?
The dramatic puppet-based retelling of Human Centipede.
It's a live show. That's illegal. We're playing a little game of this.
Top That.
And we're talking about worst date locations. Duels, many years ago, you took a girl on a date to go and see the movie Downfall.
Downfall, the ultra-realistic, all-in-German-subtitled, 3.5-hour epic about the final hours of Adolf Hitler.
It actually goes longer than the original war.
It's full on.
Yeah.
Like, the Russians pack up and they're out of Berlin, but you're still in the cinema watching the end of this stuff. It's crazy.
So we're asking you on 133-53, the worst date locations. I once tried to take, took a French girl out on a date. And I thought, you know what, she's
You're
French.
Being a bit classy, weren't you? Yeah, you put on your best moccasins and took her up to get some culture.
Thought I'd take her to the zoo, because I thought she'd be so impressed by Australian native fauna that she would just go, oh, God, he's a compelling guy. And we got there and a chimpanzee ate its own poo. And I went, yeah, I just went, this is not working out. Let's get to some calls. Hello, Chris.
Yes.
How you going, mate?
Good, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Play Top That. Worst date location?
So my auntie and uncle have got property out in the middle of nowhere. No phone reception, nothing. And I just started seeing this girl who'd been friends in high school for a little while, not long out of high school. And I said to her, I'll pick you up and I'll take you out to a nice little country setting and have a picnic lunch together. And afterwards, she's told me since the date that, you know, was we're going out there, her phone's lost reception and we're in the middle of just nowhere in this property. And she's full freaking out, thinking, you know, is this guy going to put me in a ditch somewhere up here? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, and thank you for sharing your story, Mr. Malat. How bad are you going, Chris, where she thought, there was like a fair part of me that thought you were going to murder me? Like, what's your date chat?
I think she turned around and says, I'll make you pay, because she married me and we've been together 12 years. So she's like, I'll make you pay for that date.
Well, look at this. That's a win.
Yeah, but don't go on a date with a bag of lime over your shoulder, though, Chris. It sends a wrong signal. It really does. Hello, Luke. How are you, mate?
Hey, g'day. Not too shabby.
All right, mate. We're playing Top That for worst date locations.
Give it a go. It was a funny one. 7 years ago, took a girl out called Cindy and, a couple of free tickets to Puppetry of the Penis.
Shut up. No, you didn't.
Top That.
That's going to be hard to beat.
What were the ideas that you're like, oh, that's a terrible date, before you landed on that? What were...
there's a few twists and turns through the night, I can say. Yeah. She had high expectations after that.
Yeah. What was happened, Luke? Did you obviously the title doesn't give you any indication of what's going to happen. So you're just working this guy. It's a puppet show. The penis.
Yeah, sort of at a pub having dinner with her. And then straight after that, I said, a couple of spare tickets. I don't know what it is, but why don't we check it out?
I don't know what it is. Give me a puppetry of the penis. It's not. It wasn't an evening of Shakespeare that turned.
It's not like a Cirque du Soleil name that you can't even pronounce. You just go, yeah. Is that Flora?
Wait. Cirque du Soleil Eau de Toilette? What is that? Oh, that's just men's perfume. They ripped off.
Thanks, Luke. All right, let's go to Gavin. Hello, Gav.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
All right, mate. Top G'day, that. Gavin. Worst date location?
My wife, when we were courting, she'd come out to Australia to live, so I picked her up from the airport. I had to go down to the uni and enrol through the year. Then my mate's mother-in-law had passed away, so I took her to the funeral.
Okay.
No, there is no way known.
Okay, so we had
took.
We had Chris who wanted to create one, and we've got Gavin who took one to one.
To the funeral.
Well, I couldn't coordinate the day that my mate's mother-in-law died, so it just all happened on the same day.
Yeah, you know what you could do there, Gav?
Mm-hmm.
Not take her to the funeral.
Do you want to go and see a movie?
I couldn't leave her stranded. So,
That's true. That's true. I mean, could have sent her off to watch Puppetry of the Penis.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Dawes, I'm keen to get your thoughts on this. Hungry Jack's have just released a drive-through e-tag.
Good.
Okay. Yeah.
This is finally... Yeah, good. I'm very relieved about this because I was worried. I was seeing so many skinny people, and as we're heading into summer...
It seems like it's convenience to the point where it's just lazy now. Like, you don't even... An e-tag basically means that you just drive through.
Yeah.
And the brekkie tag, as it's known, then allows customers to save having to make their regular breakfast order because it's digitally done as they just drive through. They just drive past the speaker, it'll beep, and then the driver knows that their order has been registered, and then they just... go past and pick it up. And it's supposed to appeal to mums on the morning school run and tradies leaving for work early in the morning and regular breakfast customers on the go. So they're just kind of...
Yeah.
You just...
Because talk... That's the thing. I mean, talking is so hard. To wind down a window and say to a human being, number four, please. I mean...
Yeah. See, the thing is, I think they're discounting a lot of people who need the human attention. You know, there's people like myself who are just constantly needy. You know, and they don't have a radio
show. I mean, you walk
show.
Through a drive-thru just so someone will kick you out.
Have done it. I've gone back. Actually. I've reversed. I'm the only guy who's reversed back and said, hey, just want to know how's your day going? And they've just gone, mate, just go forward, please.
Mr. Watts, you've got your 30-cent cone. Please leave.
We've got your license plate. You've got to stop doing this.
You have to stop doing this.
So people...
The staff are starting to complain.
Well, here's the thing, Dawes. I think I might have an understanding of why they're streamlining this. And I think it's partly, obviously for efficiency, but also too because there's people like me who use drive-thrus.
Hello, welcome to Hungry Jack's. Can I take your order, please?
Hi. My name's Merrick.
Name's not necessary. What can I get for you?
Of course, sorry. Can I have,
Do you have your glasses on?
No.
And you're driving a car. Great. Can you see the menu?
I can see the menu. Can I have a... a meal deal, please.
Sure can. After 11 a.m.
Sorry?
We're still on breakfast menu. Lunch menu starts at 11.
But it's 4 minutes to 11. Surely you can just knock one out early.
Afraid not. For the next 3 minutes, 38 seconds, I can only take breakfast item orders.
Okay. Can I wait?
Sorry, sir. There are other customers wanting to place breakfast orders. Would you like to make a selection?
Yes. Okay. I'll have a, man, this is like being on Millionaire Hot Seat. Pancakes. I'll have pancakes with maple syrup and orange juice, please.
I'm afraid we don't serve pancakes at Hungry Jack's.
But I can see the picture. There's pancakes.
No, I'm afraid not, sir. You may be looking at the hotcakes.
Hotcakes, pancakes, what's the difference?
They're indiscernibly smaller.
In mind, I'm trying to order some pancakes!
Hotcakes.
Okay, sorry. Hotcakes. I'll have hotcakes, please.
I'm afraid the breakfast menu is now ended for the day. Would you like to order something from the lunch menu?
Oh, do you serve cyanide?
Scott Dooley with me. Oh, God.
Get ready. Get ready. This is a big one.
A comedian is telling you to get a job. Your opinion doesn't matter. It is not important.
It's time for American Australia's Minority Report.
Oh, Dools, I worry
all
for
right.
you.
Okay. This is if you don't normally listen on a Wednesday, this is a segment where I will just pick a group of society that just pisses me off. And I'll tell them why they pissed me off, and then I'll get them to call up on 133353 to defend themselves.
Yep, and they have every right. We always put them to air, and we're not
always.
Biased,
yeah, no, you get to air. It's a frank and open discussion.
And I reckon we might get a few calls today, Scotty.
Yeah, we might. Mm. We might. Mm. People who claim to be gluten intolerant. People who claim they can't have gluten. Give me a call. You liars. Call up. Now, if you've got celiac disease, that's real.
Yeah,
that's real.
If
you have, don't call. But here's the thing. You don't have celiac disease because less than 2% of the population has celiac disease. And of that less than 2%, 80% are undiagnosed. So you don't have it. So stop lying. It's like, this is what you're saying. It's like you're saying you have an allergy to fairies. If I was to walk in and go, I'm allergic to fairies, and then go to a cafe and say, do you have fairy-free bread? Because I really need fairy-free bread because of my fairy allergy. They'd kick me out for wasting their time, and on the way out, they'd call me an idiot. But you go in, you go, do you have gluten-free bread? I've got a gluten allergy. I can't have gluten. I need gluten. Because you've got a made-up illness. They roll out the red carpet and put signs up in the bloody windows and say, there's no such thing as gluten bread, idiot. None. All right? But however, I've been eating fairy bread since I was a kid. Think about that. It is in your head. And now listen to this. These are the legitimate symptoms that you people have from your non-celiac gluten intolerance, okay? This is a disease that science has proven is bullshit, okay? This is it. These are genuine symptoms. Mental fatigue, also known as brain fog, fatigue, gas, and a headache. That's called being an adult. Every one of those things happen when you have to drive a car and vote and pay bills and look after kids and make sure your wife's happy and go to a job you hate. That's just what happens, all right?
Yeah.
So don't blame your horrible life on bread. I've had a gut full of people that think, well, I'm tired and gassy and I got a bit of a headache. It must have been something. No, it's not. You're just old now. So take a Panadol, have a nap, get someone to pull your finger and get on with your life.
Oh, you know what it should be? It should be renamed Global Intolerance, because that's what they've got. It's not gluten intolerance, it's global intolerance. You know the ones, there's nothing worse when you're having a barbecue, you're enjoying yourself, and somebody turns around and just goes, are they gluten-free sausages?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they are. They absolutely are. Everything's gluten-free.
And even if they're not, eat one. Yeah. Here's the thing. I've never seen anybody die from gluten intolerance. I've never seen anybody just go, oh my God! It's not like peanut allergies, is it? Yeah. Oh, my God, I've eaten some of the gluten. Ring my mum. I've got to say goodbye.
No,
not happening. Yeah. I'm with you, Dooley. No. No, I'm not, because you're starting to get some hate calls. 133. Flip-flop white.
Bring it on.
133353. Are you gluten intolerant because it's made up in your mind?
You're not. No. The answer is no, you're not. It's
call
made up.
Now.
You are not.
Call now and defend yourself. 133353. Scott Dooley's with me this afternoon. Oh, my God, you have kicked the hornet's nest today, Dools. We're doing Minority Report.
Never has anyone read a news article and thought, oh, if only there was a way to find out what dickheads thought about this article.
You're one pseudo away from being a Phil Collins song.
It's time for American Australia's Minority Report.
We'll get to some calls in a second, Scotty. Yeah. I just want to let everybody in on something.
Please, please stop yelling at the people answering the phones.
Okay.
They didn't say the things. No. It was me.
So Liam and Leon have said, Leon came in and he said, we've had a lot of calls.
said it like that.
We can't put them to air. And I'm like, what? Why not? And he goes, they're too angry and hate-filled.
Do you know how angry and hate-filled you have to be to not be allowed on talkback radio?
I know.
Do you know what you were doing?
We're deliberately trying to find that up. Now, Scotty, there was a disclaimer at the very start because a lot of people ring up and say, oh, you don't bash people with celiacs. Never, ever.
No.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, what I did, if you have just joined us, I do a thing called Minority Report where I have certain very specific segments of society, and then the people will call up and defend themselves, and then we'll have a bit of a joke. And it's stuff like, you know, blokes that go rock fishing and flair bartenders and baristas and stuff like that. Today was people who claim to have gluten intolerance. The first thing I said, literally the first thing I said was, not anyone with celiac disease, that's a serious medical condition.
That's real. Celiacs is real.
The amount of people with celiac disease who missed that disclaimer and just went, hey, wonder what's going on Triple M with Mez and the guys, and have tuned on just to hear me teeing off on people who are gluten intolerant.
Because
it doesn't exist.
Yeah, we actually
gluten intolerance doesn't exist.
And we do requests here, but one of the requests
except
that came
for celiac disease
online was, how do I stab Scotty? We can't. Can't make that dream come through. But
with a gluten-free breadstick, you dickhead. Hey! Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I'm with you. Because you know what? I've noticed that not only, but a large proportion of gluten intolerance are not intolerant to looking like a hipster. So you can look like a hipster, but you can't eat bread. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Scotty, we said that we'd get to some calls. There's still some more.
You just had to get one last dig in, couldn't you?
Because they drive me nuts. People with real medical.
This is like a Donald Trump apology.
Let's get to some calls. Hello, Jasmine. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How you doing?
G'day, Jasmine. Are you still talking to me or are you filthy?
No, I'm definitely still talking to you. I'm good. The pro Julie bandwagon all the way.
Good, good, good.
Okay. Why Jazz?
I live with and have to deal with this person every single day. My flatmate pretends to be gluten intolerant and it drives me up the wall.
So what kind of stuff does your flatmate do?
We spend a lot of time together, as you can imagine, but we go for breakfast and brunch on the weekends, and she's just one of those annoying people that can never order anything off the menu, always has to have some special dietary requirement because she doesn't eat gluten. And I lived with her for 6 years in London before we moved to Australia, and she was never gluten intolerant there.
Okay, Jess, so are all of your friends shit or just this one? Because I think we'll leave it there. We've got some more hate calls to get through during the news. Let's do this.
Australia has the big pineapple, the big banana, and now, thanks to Triple M, it's got the big question. The only difference is you don't have to spend 6 hours in the car to get to the big question.
Chinese government has swooped in and shaken up the entire VIP gaming industry in Macau and other parts of the world too, because I don't know if we did know, but China doesn't allow anything other than state lotteries. So they don't have gambling in China. But right next door, in Macau, they have one of the largest casino complexes on earth. It's massive, Dools.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have. I was actually there last year visiting a friend of mine. And
it's wild, right?
It's mega. It's just too much.
Not afraid to smoke inside there either, are they?
No.
They love a dart.
They love to smoke. And the gambling there is off the hook because I didn't really partake too much in the gambling. I went to one table and I think I exchanged like $50 because I'm a tight ass. And I was literally walking around going, where's the $1 tables? And the minimum with the room, just like in a regular room, was $50. And I went, can I have everything on number 4? Like, thanks very much. That was fun.
I enjoyed that. I was there because it's right near Hong Kong, and yeah. I went there. here's a way not to ingratiate yourself with the locals on a blackjack table. Split aces. They hate that.
Right.
Split tens. Yeah.
I'm not massive into gambling.
I didn't know what I was doing, and I got yelled at, and a lot of people busted. It was no good.
They take it very, very seriously. And, you know, we know that here in Australia, with casino complexes being built in Sydney and they're popping up or being renovated all around the country, to try and attract these whales, you know, these large gamblers who I thought, like, you know, I thought a whale was somebody, and I'll be honest, who's like, would walk into a room and say, I'll have $5,000 on a hand, right? Which is just, I just, that money, just, that blows your mind, yeah. Right? It's yeah. on a hand, on one hand or on one roll of yeah, roulette that, or whatever, yeah. they just go $5,000. Here's what I learnt today. The average a whale puts down on a hand of something is $15,000 on one go.
Jeez.
I know. That's a Nissan Micra going around the table very, very fast the whole time. Just Nissan Micra, Nissan Micra, Nissan Micra, Nissan Micra. Oh, crapped out. It's a Mazda 121. The big question today is, like, this kind of blew me away, and everyone's talking about these Chinese high rolls and high rolls or whales or whatever they're referred to as. I want to know, take us behind the scenes of these high rolls. If you've got an inside knowledge, pull back the curtain. Let us know. How much money do they spend per hand? Their biggest wins, their biggest losses, you know, the special treatment that they
incur.
Yeah,
I want to know what they get comped. I want to know what they get. Because you hear these, like, you see, have you seen the movie Casino with Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
And he runs a casino. And they talk about, they just comp them floors of, like, an entire floor of rooms to themselves, yeah. and stuff like that. Private jets, the whole lot. I want to know if any of that's true.
Yeah, so if you've had contact in, you know, in any gaming industry anywhere in the world, and you know something about these high rollers, you've witnessed them, or even, you know, you've just been at a casino and you've seen these people lay out these extraordinary amounts of money, and they've had these big wins. What blows me away, Duels, is, like, if they can lose, like, $100,000 on one hand, $100,000, and then they just go, oh, well, number 23 then, please.
That's a lot of money, $100,000. Like, mate, it takes me a week to earn that.
Oh, mate, $100,000 on a roulette table, the idea of losing that money just puts me into the fetal position. Do you know what I mean?
But it's the old saying, problem gamblers gamble to lose. That's where the thrill is.
What idiots.
That feeling of loss.
Give me the money. I'll give you the same. Marry me. I'll give you the same feeling. 133353. Have you witnessed high rollers, been in, you know, in their circles? Maybe you've worked at a casino. Let's pull back the curtain. Let's have a look. Biggest wins, biggest losses, how much per hand, special treatment. I want to know it all. Give us a call. Scott Dooley this afternoon, and we're talking about whales, high rollers, people who gamble extraordinary amounts of money. And have no problem losing it. You know, obviously Australia is trying to attract these Chinese whales to come and gamble here in Australia, but the Chinese government is cracking down. That's, you know, kind of what we're talking about today. Now, Duels, I don't mind a flutter every now and again, and I think, you know, obviously you've got to gamble responsibly. I reckon I do. But this is probably why I gamble responsibly, right? I'm not joking. If I like to play roulette, if I like to play something, I like to play roulette. If I was to step away, and I've only done this once, step away from the $10 table and go to the big boys table at 20, I had such bad anxiety. I literally cashed in the chips and went back to the $5 table and just went, I just want to have a go. I got anxious being near the $20 table.
Right.
When I hear that the average hand in casinos in, like, the high roller rooms, the average hand is $15,000 a throw. And
the average hand.
That's it.
That's the average. That's not one of your bigger bets. That's just your
standard. Mine would be 10. Theirs is $15,000. Okay, there's a discrepancy there, Triple M, yeah. If you'd like to up the wages. Anyway, it's just mind-boggling. So I've asked you to peel back the curtain. We've got Brad. Hello, Brad.
How you doing?
Good, mate. You know something about these high rollers, these whales that we hear about. What sort of money are they spending? What sort of treatment do they get?
I used to be a surveillance officer in Star City about a decade ago, and up in the private rooms, and that's not in the high roller room upstairs. These are the three very private rooms that you've got to have $1 million line of credit to get into. They would have, the preferred game is blackjack, and you know how you'd have seven spaces on the blackjack table?
Yes.
Well, I used to watch people playing all four, seven boxes, $40,000 each, so $280,000 a go.
Mate, Brad, you should see my face. It's just, my face has turned to stone.
And so Brad, were these gamblers flown in from other parts of the world, or were they locals?
They were, 95% of them were all Chinese.
Yeah, okay. So hang on, and the $40,000, is that the minimum on each hand that you could play on those tables?
No, that's the maximum, and right. I think if the maximum was higher, they would have gone more.
Okay, so like $250,000 wasn't enough, but they had just had to deal with it. Like we all have to. First world problems.
Got to have limits.
You know what's? You know what makes me really sick in the stomach, Duels, is that's he's talking about $240,000 now. $240,000 10 years ago, you know, you could actually buy a house then.
Yeah, yeah.
Not now. No,
you can get a car park now.
Yeah. Got Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Your mind is just exploding, mate, here, man.
That much wealth scares me. I don't. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't deal with it. It's a phenomenal waste of cash. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, hi.
All right, mate. What can you tell us about Wales high rollers? What do they get? What do they spend?
Well, what they are is they're pretty much professional gamblers, and they're flowing in, and they can all go on what we call a rebate program, which means however much they bet, they will get back a certain percentage of their turnover.
So, just say they bring in $2 million and it's a 10% rebate, you're saying that no matter what, they walk away with 200 grand?
Pretty much. I mean, the highest they'll get will be around, you're talking about 1.5%, but their turnover is in, you're talking about the hundreds of millions.
What?
Yeah. Well, if you've got someone betting 500K per hand, you're turning over $500,000.
$500,000 a hand?
Yeah.
What's the most money you've seen lost, Jeff? Like in a night?
In one night, I could probably say I've seen someone lose around $20 to $26 million.
Whereabouts?
So sick.
I can't actually say that one.
Can't say. Sorry, I didn't want to put you in that position. But yeah it wasn't.
I hope
it wasn't Brisbane workers.
No, I don't think it's the tab.
We're talking about what these guys get. They're actually paying for it themselves by their turnover.
So where do they make their money in the first? Is it just private business, or are they actual gamblers from the get-go that just started with a bankroll of like 10 grand?
A lot of them are professional gamblers. A lot of them are big CEOs and companies overseas in the Asian countries.
Sure.
Is it, how much of it's dirty money, Jeff? Like, be honest, is there, you know, a large percentage of the money come in, is it to be, you know, to all intents and purposes, laundered?
Oh, I think in when you're talking about the international players, I think, can you be, a lot of it has to be dirty, but we don't know that, you know?
Yeah. But you know what we're all doing, and I'm part of that. We're all turning a blind eye because we just go, I don't mind if it's a bit laundered. Just leave a lot of it here. Just leave heaps of it in Australia.
All the gamblers, it's where it's all dirty.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? We're the dry cleaners of Southeast Asia. Well done, Australia. Hey, Duels, just before, thanks to everybody who's called through. There's lots of people in. I just want to get to one thing. A guy called in and he couldn't talk on air. I said we could affect his voice and everything. And he said, no, it's such a jeopardy for him to speak on air. He couldn't. But here's what I learnt today.
Right. This is someone who works at a casino somewhere in the region.
Right. This person said that at the high rollers table, and get ready for this, Australia, as you're paying your mortgage every week, think about this. The average bet on Baccarat is $600,000.
No, that's got to be a G up.
Yeah, a guy who can't even talk on air is not going to bother lying to us. Wait, it gets better. Some high rollers come in with $20 to $30 million to play in one night. And he once saw someone lose $30 million in a night.
Okay, I have a name.
Okay.
I lost a lot of money that night.
It was a big night, Scotty, and that person who called through was your mum. Duels, interesting news that Leonardo DiCaprio has been in talks to produce a movie based on the television show Captain Planet, which, of course, was a kids' Good. Animation about what is essentially the crappiest superhero of all time. Do you remember Captain Planet? What's your memory?
Well, he's our hero and he's going to take pollution down to zero. That same Captain Planet, Merrick, what?
Is that what he said? Was that his catchphrase?
Yeah, that was the name of Captain Planet. He's the hero, going to take pollution down to zero.
He did.
Yeah, and they'd have all these dudes and they'd be like, Earth, wind, fire, and they'd all come together. And then Sea Planet would roll in and just take care of the bad guys. And the bad guys were always like, you know, people are like, I want to overfish this cove. It's just really just terrible villains.
Yeah. I want to burn these leaves that have been on my driveway.
Yeah. Yeah.
No!
There was a
Captain Planet for this piss weak task.
Yeah. But this forest is endangered. I don't care. This wood needs to get to the factory.
It's just terrible. Well, we know that DiCaprio is a huge environmentalist, but he wants to make a movie based on a cartoon that was so bad it only went for 3 years because everyone just went, he's the most piss-weak dude of all time.
No, we've seen this. All right. Yeah. All right. Captain P, pack him.
It makes no sense. The only way we can even begin to unravel this is with the use of theatre.
Merrick and Australia's Theatre Company presents Leonardo DiCaprio speaks to studio boss on board his luxury yacht about producing Captain Planet. Merrick will play the part of Leo and Duels will be the studio boss.
Larry, welcome aboard.
G'day, Leo.
Hey, can I get you a drink? Some gin, some vodka soda, White Crow bourbon?
Yeah, just Coke's fine. Just
okay.
A Coke.
Okay.
Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. A lot of attractive women on this boat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sleep with them, not necessarily one at a time either.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even care about getting fat anymore. They still love me. Yeah. You feel this fat roll. Feel it.
I'm fine. I'm fat.
Yeah.
No. Okay. That's, yeah. Thanks. Okay.
Look, I've got boobs.
Yeah.
I've got boobs.
Yeah.
Look, they jiggle. Yeah. I don't even care. Yeah. Hey, girls, look at these puppies jiggle.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, I'm good. I don't know. Yeah.
Leo, why'd you ask me to the boat?
Good question.
Thanks.
Good question. Good question. Captain Planet.
The lame Eco Warrior cartoon from the 90s. Oh, yeah, no one liked that.
I liked him.
You know, on reflection, it wasn't all bad.
No.
Yeah.
No, I want to turn him. I want to turn him into a movie.
Okay. I'm going to ask you something.
Yeah.
Are you high at the moment?
I can't feel my face.
Okay, sure. Okay, Leo, I have an idea. Okay,
shoot.
All right, okay. Why don't you sleep with every girl on this yacht twice in one day, and if you still want to do the movie after that, the studio's going to make it.
I love it. You're a genius, Larry. Girls, I'll play me. Who wants to play the grizzly bear? Larry, what are you doing here? Have we got a meeting or something?
I was just passing the boat. See ya.
The end.
The presidential debate begins tomorrow. This is the final presidential debate, Duels. The third
debates or just yelling?
Yeah, it's so
presidential
weird.
Yelling.
It's so weird. Like, the memes are the most entertaining part of it. You know, islands in the stream. We've seen all that stuff between Hillary and Trump. But it's almost predictable. I think we can almost get a sense of what we're going to see tomorrow.
It's just insane. Yeah, I agree. But it is, like, there's so much crazy stuff that happens that it's like, it's just too much to pay attention to. Like, in the last debate, just bear this in mind, in the last presidential debate to be the leader of the free world, one of the moderators accused one of the candidates of sexual assault.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't even a talking point afterwards.
No. And Hillary had to deny it. Look, I think we're going to see some predictable material tomorrow, Duels. I think we should have a game right now. We'll set up a game of the presidential debate bingo, right? Where we'll set out some things now, and if they say these things tomorrow, if these come up during the presidential debate tomorrow, we'll play bingo. You can mark them off on a card, all right? So instead of having numbers, we'll have things that they will say.
Yeah.
Okay?
May I suggest don't make this a drinking game because you could die.
Yeah, you could die of alcohol poisoning.
Because they say three things, yep. They're just going to say them over and over again.
First thing that I'm going to... This is on your bingo card right now. Donald Trump will pronounce the word China as Gina.
With a G. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to happen. So that's a gimme.
He'll grab that pronunciation.
Yep.
Benghazi will be mentioned.
Yeah, okay.
Put Benghazi down.
Yeah.
That's going to get mentioned. That's going to get yelled.
I heard that Ben was going to the Broncos, that apparently he'd been made an approach to leave St. George.
That's right. Yeah.
But I don't know if it comes up in the debate. Sure. I guarantee that Trump is going to talk about Bill Clinton being a sex offender. That's going to happen.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's also going to say that it's rigged. So put that on your...
Rigged. Rigged's going to be in there.
Yep.
The term locker room talk will be used.
Yeah. Yeah. Locker room talk. Unless, of course, it's Bill Clinton doing it, then it's just sexual assault. I'm going to... This is an interesting one. I'm going to put this on your bingo card.
Yeah.
Donald Trump at some stage is going to say Macaulay Culkin. I don't know why.
Jesus.
You know, I like long odds. I like a roughie.
That is, what would we get on Sportsbet for that? Are they running exotics?
They'd give that for an exotic bet on that. You've got to be 500 to 1. I just got a good feeling. I've just got a feeling. He's so crazy and so loose. At some stage, he's going to turn around and go, "Well, you're like Macaulay Culkin," and I'm just going to go, "Boom, bingo."
Yeah,
yeah.
He gave Macaulay Culkin directions in Home Alone 2, didn't he? Lost in New York.
Yeah.
I think he's in that.
Yeah. So he'll bring up Macaulay Culkin. He'll say, this is like working with Macaulay Culkin.
When I was on set with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Reminds me of, and he had an email server. And you know what? He didn't put state secrets. There you go.
And that's
that
it.
Works.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one, of course. Email. He'll be talking.
Email.
Yeah, sure, he doesn't know how to use it, but he'll be bringing it up anyway. And you know what? We'll make this bingo page available on our Facebook page for tomorrow's debate. And you can tick them off at home. Duels, would you believe that boxes of Weet-Bix are selling in China for up to $50 a box?
What?
China has gone mad for Weet-Bix and Sanitarium is just going, ka-ching! Small,
50, wow.
Yeah, small market, China.
That's right. Yeah. That's the thing. That's why there's high demand.
I like
there's so few people.
I like how if you corner just like 1% of the market, it's like 100 million. So you just go, just corner that 1% of the market is 100 million people, five times the size of Australia. They are in the midst of a little bit of excitement. They've changed the name there from Weet-Bix to Nutribrex. Yeah, I don't know.
Just hit me with that again.
Nutribrex.
Great.
Do you want that one more time?
Yeah.
Nutribrex.
Your move, Iron Man.
Oh, I don't know what to do with that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean... It's got bricks.
Well, I know what I want to do. Spend $50 and get a box.
Damn right. I want extra bricks in my breakfasts. They've gone nuts for it.
Is when you go to the bathroom after breakfast, is that called a Brexit then? A neutral Brexit? Is that what that's called?
The fiber. NutriBrex.
Keeps you regular.
Very well played there. We've designed a little bit of a game. Now, I've got to say, I'm going to play along, Duels, but I don't know the answer to these questions. But basically, what we've done is we've taken well-known Australian cereals slogans and we've translated them to Chinese and then back into English to see how they'll sound. Now, Liam's got the list of them here.
Sure. This sounds at best playfully racist, but let's go with it. Let's do it.
Okay, I've got five of them to get through. Now, we'll use your names as your buzzers.
Okay, go.
All right, so this is the first one. It only crunchy delicious like cocoa milk drink.
Scott.
Tools?
Cocoa Pops.
Correct.
Just like a chocolate milkshake, only crunchy, I think, would be the slogan we started off with there, guys.
Bonus points.
I actually think I like the Chinese version again. Give me that one more again.
It only crunchy delicious like cocoa milk drink.
Damn right, you're speaking my language and I've been
I can hear kids all around breakfast table saying that exact line.
All right, next one. Another flagrant Kellogg crazy cakes.
Wow.
Hey.
Merrick, crunchy nut cornflakes.
Wow, well done.
And the that's a deep cut.
I know.
That is like, that's the Shamrock Shake of cereals. That comes around very rarely.
Mez, for a bonus point, what's the original?
Just like a crunchy nut milkshake, but only chocolate. Is that it?
No. Oh, obviously right. Another Kellogg's Crunchy Nut was the original one. All right, here we go. One apiece.
Right.
Number three. Not to mention its health, they will eat FCL.
Wow.
Scott.
Okay.
Is it the Rice Krispy, Rice Bubble Krispy things? Don't mention it's healthy.
No.
Merrick, Special K.
Oh, no. Ugh. You're both back in. I'll give it to you one more time. Not to mention its health, they will eat FCL.
Merrick, just right.
No. All right. I'm going to give you the answer here, guys. It's Sultana brand. Don't mention it's healthy, and they'll eat the full box.
Yeah, eat it by the box full.
Eat it by the box full. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, all right.
All right, so still one apiece, two to go.
Bloody China.
You put your only escape.
You put your only escape?
You put your only escape.
Pass. Wow. I'm gone.
Pass.
You only get out what you put in. Nutri-Grain.
Oh! No, it should be Iron Man food. That's what you should have had to have translated.
Yeah, Iron Man food.
And it would have been strong metal human.
All right. Well, this is for the win here, and I think one of you will get this. So it's one apiece, and this is the last one. A piece of cake, crack popular.
Scott.
Yes.
Rice Bubbles.
Yes. Snap, crackle, pop.
I've never been happier in my entire life, and that was worth a million points as well. So it was an unassailable lead, even if we come back next week.
Okay, we are playing this every week from now on. We're playing Chinese translator game. Guess what it is?
Maybe this is an off-air kind of podcast bonus thing.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
This Triple M American Australia podcast was brought to you by Cooper's Mild Ale. Cooper's Mild Ale is a 3.5% mid-strength beer that tastes more like a full-strength beer because you can actually taste it.